Ryan was surprised they hadn't been ordered to remove their blasters and leave them with the SEC men. All of them had chosen not to carry their heavier guns, relying on sidearms. Most of the adult males of the Ville wore pistols, many of which looked like remakes. On some of the side streets, small domestic wags were parked, and just beyond the Harold Sissy Memorial High School, close by the lake, there was a big old Kenworth rig with chromed exhaust. They followed the throng off the main drag and up the narrow slope of Quarry Road. Several of the older men were smoking pipes, and Ryan wrinkled his nostrils at the familiar smell. He looked sideways at J.B., seeing that the armorer had also recognized the scent.
Mary Jane, huh?
How's that sit with the Temperance Hotel back there, from the Mayor Sissy cannabis plant?
Watch the tongue, friend.
They finally arrived at the quarry.
Fire blast.
It was possible that more people had gathered here than he'd ever seen in one place. He did a quick count in the gathering gloom, estimating there were something like 7,000 men and boys present. That meant there was something wrong. Something somewhere that was terribly wrong.
Doc?
The Ville folk had left a circle around the five companions, as though they were suspected of having the plague.
What?
You're the man of science.
Was, my dear boy, was.
What did that sign say when we came into the Ville? The population?
8,407. Real big town for these days.
Do me a rough count on how many's here.
The old man was silent, lips moving as he let his eyes run around the natural arena, ticking off the figures on the different ledges in the quarry. Away to their left, there was some sort of disturbance in the crowd, with a phalanx of SEC men pushing through.
Something between 7,300 and 7,400. Difficult to count, a shifting mob of chapped-hand yokels in poor light. I counted legs and divided by two.
Finnegan was listening to the exchange.
Wait a fucking minute. If there's a total...
Keep your voice down. We get the picture, Ryan. Total population, 8,500. Men, 7,500. Take off some male babies. Can't leave more than a few hundred women in the whole Ville.
All four of them pondered that. The chatter around them had subsided, and the great granite bowl was silent, with only the whistling of the wind to break the stillness. As on the previous evening, it had become bitingly cold, and a chem storm was raging away to the north, the crimson clouds torn apart with golden curtains of forked lightning. There was a ramp that led to a raised podium near the middle of the quarry. The SEC men were climbing it, with someone or something at their center. Jack Lauren had the keenest eyes.
Cripple. They're wheeling.
Ryan saw him then. A tiny, frail man with a head fringed with silvery hair that looked too large for his body, and a skin almost as pale as Jack's. They were only about 50 yards off, and Ryan could see the little hands, soft and pink, decorated with chunky rings and a golden bracelet. The legs trailed, wasted, in neat, highly polished shoes of black leather. The man wore a tailored suit of light cream cloth. As he was wheeled up to the platform, his head jiggled and rolled on his shoulders.
Silence for Mayor Theodore Sissy!
There was a microphone at the front of the stage, already adjusted to the height at which Mayor Sissy could speak into it comfortably from his chair.
Bring them before us!
A half dozen SEC men, including the leader of the patrol in the jeep, moved into the center of the quarry with two people in their midst.
Let there be light!
A lever was thrown, and the whole place was flooded by arc lamps that stood on pylons circling the stone arena. The stark glare made Jack's white hair stand out like spun magnesium. All around them, the men and boys backed farther off, muttering and pointing. Fortunately, they were distracted by the events at the middle of the quarry.
Here stand Julian Manscombe and Mahor, taken in the act of adulterous lust. It is admitted that the whore lured him as Eve lured Adam, but both pay the price.
The woman was slightly built, with dull brown hair cropped raggedly at shoulder level. She was dressed in a short robe like a shift of some coarse material that looked as if it had been used as sacking. It was dyed a vivid, sickly yellow. The man, whose head was bowed and balding, was wearing a similar robe, colored flat ochre. Both of them were barefoot, and both had their hands tied in front of them with a thick rope. Ryan had noticed that he stood on uneven ground. It was covered with a thick layer of stones, ranging in size from pebbles to jagged chunks of granite as large as a man's fist. There were similar piles of stones all about the floor of the quarry, the nearest only a dozen paces from where he waited with JB, Jack, Finn, and Doc Tanner. He licked his lips, finding them suddenly dry as he realized what the stones were for.
Outworlders, step forward.
The little man in the wheelchair read from a creased piece of paper that one of the Sekhmen had handed him.
Cawdor, Dix, Finnegan, Lauren, and Tanner, all come to stand before me.
Conscious of every man's eyes upon them, the five stepped across the uneven ground, picking their way around the piles of stone. Ryan noticed that the woman in the sack robe watched them, but the man at her side remained with his head bowed, mumbling to himself, shoulders shaking as he wept.
Welcome, Outworlders, to Ginsburg Falls.
The little man had a face reminiscent of pictures Ryan had once seen in an old book of maps. Chubby cheeks, pursed as though to blow a great wind across the quarry, eyes twinkling coldly in the flat light.
Like a damnably evil cherub.
That had been the word Ryan wanted. Cherub. But with a darker side of power and evil.
When we have men in from beyond our borders, we allow them the privilege of aiding our rituals. You are blessed that you have an opportunity to prove your worth on your first night among us.
Does he mean what I think he fucking means?
Calm the talk, Finn. You'll get us all chilled.
Mayor Sissy had stopped, the merry glitter vanishing for a moment.
The punishment of Jolyon Manscombe and the whore is now to begin. The shame is made worse by the help of the Outworlders. By their actions shall they also be judged. Sec Commander?
Sir!
Begin. Remember all present that you may share the stoning only when one full minute has passed on the counting of the Sec Commander here. To begin too early would disappoint me.
Ryan reached up and eased the patch over his left eye socket. He rubbed his cheek and found that he was sweating despite the cold.
Are you ready, Outworlders?
Yes, we're ready.
Then begin!
Ryan didn't move. The others at his side tensed like hunting dogs. Without looking, he knew that fingers would be questing for the butts of blasters. He also knew that if they made one wrong move, death was a dozen heartbeats away.
Begin, Outworlders, or join the fool and the whore!
Bending slowly, Ryan reached down with his right hand and picked up a large, jagged stone, his fingers tightening around it. All five of them picked up stones and were waiting.
Now!
Surprisingly, Doc Tanner took the lead.
Well, it were done quickly.
He threw his rock with a clumsy roundhouse motion, like a young girl attempting to pitch for the first time. The stone bounced yards short.
Go closer!
Ryan threw next, aiming at the man. The stone hissed through the chilled evening air, hitting Jolyon Manscombe high on the right side of his chest. His head remained bowed. The woman looked across at Ryan and his friends.
You cocksucking son of a bitch!
You're the cocksucker, harlot!
This fucking sucks.
JB and Finnegan threw together, both aiming at the man. Both their rocks struck home, one on the thigh, the other gashing Manscombe's cheek, sending blood flowing over his neck to dapple the yellow robe. In the brightness of the artificial light, the blood was almost black.
Oh, good shot!
Yeah, give it to him!
Jack Lauren threw his stone underhand, like a child playing ducks and drakes on a town pool. It hit the woman on the forearm, just above the binding of the ropes.
More! More! Faster! And harder! It is not enough to cast only the first stones!
They threw a second volley of rocks, then another. Several of them were accurately aimed, one knocking the man clear off his feet. The whore was hit three times, one stone drawing blood from her leg, a handspan below the right knee.
30 seconds gone! 30 to go!
When the victims were felled, both of them struggled patiently to their feet, standing where they had before, waiting for more stones. Above all, Ryan was a realist. He had sensed that the hunched figure in the wheelchair had been waiting for him to refuse, for one of them to refuse to take part in the obscene rites. Now, all around the quarry, men and boys stooped, filling their hands with stones. Even the youngest lads picked up round pebbles, hopping from foot to foot in their eagerness to begin.
Into thy hands we commend their spirits.
The woman was knocked to her knees, but she rose again almost at once, her eyes locked on Ryan's face, as if he were the sole aggressor. Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan noticed, with a wave of revulsion, that Sissy's stubby little fingers were busy in his lap, rubbing at a massive erection that distended the front of the tailored pants. Since time was nearly up, he knew this could be the last rock he needed to throw. Then his part in the butchery could cease. He aimed at the woman's body, hoping only to strike her a glancing blow. But a clumsy throw from Doc Tanner came wheeling wildly in, hitting her on the foot at a second bounce. She fell to her knees at the very moment that Ryan released his own last rock. The woman turned, dirt on her slender throat, hair streaked with mud. The bright lights made her eyes look glassy, as though she were blind. The sharp-edged hunk of granite, the quartz glittering like diamonds, hit her on the right side of her face, between nose and ear. It cracked her cheekbone, smashing her right eye to a weeping pulp. The blow was so savage that it sent her spinning over, unable, with hands bound, to do anything to save herself.
Wonderful throw, Outworlder Kodor! You will do well here in Ginsberg Falls.
Time!
You killed them?
No choice, lover. If we hadn't, we'd have been butchered. They were just waiting for it. And the man and woman would have died anyway. What the fuck would have been the point in that? 7 deaths instead of 2? 5 friends as well as 2 total strangers.
There wasn't anything you could have done? You couldn't have argued?
With Mayor Theodore Sissy? I tell you, Christy, if you'd been there...
They were back at their dormitory. The men had been reluctant to talk about what they'd seen and done, but both Laurie and Christy were eager to hear about it. Both had been shocked into silence at first when they had heard the horrible story.
Like raining.
I feared for our lives.
Doc's face was lined with fatigue, and he sat slumped in a smart armchair.
Fucking murderous. Only thing I figure is that they died fucking fast. I seen maybe 200 rocks hit him in the first 10 seconds.
I guess so. Man's skull was soft when he hit the dirt, like a bag of beans, so many breaks in it.
What happened after it was over?
Nothing. Sekhmen led us back here. Everyone was rolling high in the street, talking and talking, like they'd been to a great show. I feel fucking dirty, I tell you. I killed me a lot of folks in my time, but never because some fucking gimp with a squeaking voice tells me to.
You couldn't help it.
Sure. But the way those sick bastards loved it. Nothing like a public killing. Surprised more barons don't liven their vills with them. I know some do, but never with fucking stones. Oh, Fireblast, I just want to go to bed now.
But the day wasn't over quite yet. Without knocking, the sec commander came marching into the long room, stopping in his tracks when he saw Christy and Laurie sitting on the beds with the rest of the group.
Outworlder Cotter, the home keeps don't sleep or eat with men? That's for whores. You said...
No, they're not whores.
Then they go.
What?
You walk the line and you'll be fine. They can stay tonight. It's past non-person's curfew on the street. They'd be in the quarry at dusk tomorrow if they were caught out now. This letter from the mayor tells you what's going to happen.
It was short and to the point, written in a neat, sloping script on rough-edged handmade paper.
Outworlders report to me at 9 in the forenoon, then to militia induction. All passes and food treads will then be issued and accommodation arranged separately. Home keeps to Arthur Sissy Wing of Workhouse for acceptance into General Pool. First sight makes me reckon both could be whores if I decide suitable. Theodore J. Sissy, Mayor. P.S. Outworlder Lauren is a susmuty. He will be taken to the lake for rogation and non-desirable rating.
After the sec man had left, Ryan silently passed the note around. Finnegan read last.
Welcome to Ginsberg Falls. Friendliest fucking little town in the West.